Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Mark Snyder, the host of Ohio Exopolitics. It's 4:30 p.m. Eastern on the 28th of June, 2020. And this program is planned to be a Billy Meier overview kind of thing. As you know, Billy Meier is a man who lives in Switzerland. He's in his 80s. He lives about 35 kilometers east of Zurich. And the place he lives is called Hinterschmidrudi. He lives behind this tiny mountain village where there are beautiful pine forests and snow-covered mountains. Billy grew up farther north in Bulach, Switzerland, near the Eisenmoser and Bruder Mountains in the Glatt Valley. In 1943, he started getting telepathic messages from a man named Svath, who was a human being, but not from the Earth. He lived in a solar system called the Pleiaren star system, which is about 80 light years beyond our Pleiades. And in that solar system, 230,000 years earlier, some planets had been terraformed, one of which was called Era. And Era is the homeworld of Svath, and the people that live there now are called the Pleiaren. They're a very, very advanced society. They live in the fifth stage of human evolution, just at the point where they go into the sixth stage where the human being doesn't completely need a physical body anymore. These human beings live in a society that has not had any kind of war for 50,000 years. They live in harmony with what are called the creational natural laws, which we'll get back to shortly. So Svath was here in 1943 to mentor Billy for about 11 years. And it was interesting, the two had a reverse situation in one of their previous lives where Billy's spiritual consciousness lived as a teacher. And he had taught Svath in an earlier life. I think he might have been Nokodamian when he taught Svath, or Henoch, maybe one of the other teachers. I'm not sure. But Svath was here to return the favor, so to speak. And he landed his silvery pear-shaped craft in a field not far from Billy's home near Bulach. And young Edward Albert Meier was brought up into Svath's ship, and it felt as if he was lifted up by ghostly hands. Svath's people had come from Lyra Vega some 230,000 years before and settled Era, which was very Earth-like. In fact, they brought plants and animals from Earth. So Svath's home was like a pristine Earth before the problems we've created here on our planet. And he took young Edward Albert Meier up into the ship into an Earth orbit of about 70,000 meters. And Billy could see all of Svath's screens that were lit up with all these people that Svath had been watching. And interestingly, Svath put a device on Billy's head, and I believe it was to protect Billy from those who would try to get into his consciousness and cause trouble. It also restored abilities that he had in his previous life where he could look into the future. And I do think Billy got some wisdom from this device as well. I think it says somewhere, a wellspring of wisdom from this device. Now, one of the interesting things about Billy at this age is he had already learned to maintain his own trains of thought. Let me read something from a writing called How It All Began. It says, "Thus, from a very early age, I learned to maintain my own trains of thought in a controlled manner, to draw my own conclusions and make my own decisions." This is very, very important. And we should always remember here on the earth to maintain your trains of thought, draw your own conclusions, and make your own decisions. So you have the responsibility to separate the wheat from the chaff and to look for the truth in your innermost, in your own intellect, in your own thoughts and contemplations and feelings. So many people surrender their decision-making over to other people. You need to be an independent thinker. Very important to be an independent thinker. So Billy learned very much from Svath. Svath told him that in earlier lifetimes, Billy had been the people that we call today Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. He was also a Russian mystic called Rasputin. But in these earlier lifetimes, at least his six earlier lifetimes as a prophet, he taught the teaching of the spirit, which consists of certain creational natural laws. And maybe it's a good time to talk about some of them. The first you might call, and there's really no order, but the first is the law of love. Love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. So your life exists initially in absolute logic. And you have a reason for being, and that is to evolve your consciousness, to learn as much as you can in this lifetime. And you'll naturally, at some point, start to share that with others. But mostly, to evolve your consciousness, this is your primary purpose in life. There's also, in order to do that, you have to strive very much. You have to work very much. And striving gives you your sense of life, your happiness, your sense of satisfaction depends on your willingness to strive. And if you do not apply yourself in striving, you will end up being and feeling a certain hopelessness. So don't fall into that trap. That's where people get very depressed. So continue your striving. Now, one of the keys to continue your striving is maintaining this good outlook, this neutral positive thinking. Let me give you an example. I could say I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful. I'm the master of my own destiny, the forger of my own fortune, the creator of my own good luck. I do not allow my thoughts to drift on the ocean of life. I steer my thoughts like a captain steers his ship. I nurture my thoughts. I clarify my thoughts. I strengthen my thoughts. It is the nature of the thoughts that by their might alone, any conceivable thing can be brought to fruition. Now, to balance that, you could also say, life has its challenges, and I know that I'm going to face challenges into the future, and some of these challenges will be difficult. So there's the neutral positive. That's the balance between the both, and that is a focus on reality. So if we can maintain this neutral positive balance, we'll be in the law of harmony. For incidents of suffering in the life are indicators that the law of harmony has been broken and disregarded. So first, love, second, striving, three is the law of harmony. Fourth is a kind of a magical law that I'm studying, and well, I'm studying all of them, but this is probably a newer one, and this is trying to maintain an exact schedule. It's called system and order. And system and order says that you're gonna try to do pretty much the same thing every day. And I know that may not always be possible, but try to make steps where it is possible for you, I guess is the key. And if you can do that, then you'll be much, much better off. So, and have an exactness to your schedule. And this will help you becoming the master of your thoughts. It'll help you with many things in life because somehow this, I think this exact schedule is very, very productive and very, very helpful for the human being to learn to do. I'm sitting here perusing my notes quickly right now. If you can bear with me here. Of course, I'm not exactly seeing what I'm looking for, but doubt is a shortcoming. I wanted to talk about this too because it works right along with system and order and learning to be neutral positive. The maintenance of doubt in no way has anything to do with healthy and logical knowledge demanding search for the truth, because doubt is always symptomatic of a prevailing deficit in regard to clear vision and clear cognition. So if you're feeling some doubt and anxiety, it's because things aren't clear for you. And through the learning the connections and the realities and the basic truth, when it starts to be recognized, then doubt won't be such a powerful thing in your life. Mighty Thoughts, page 168. Mighty Thoughts is one of the books that Billy would write in the future. I started out the show and I'm talking about Billy's early contacts with Sloth that lasted until about 1953. And this kind of set the foundation for Billy's knowledge. So Billy would write these books later in life because his major goal in this particular incarnation was to write down the teaching of the spirit, and that would be written in books like Mach der Gedanken, The Mighty Thoughts, Die Art zu Leben, The Way to Live, The Psyche, Kelch der Wahrheit, which is the Goblet of Truth, and the Talmud of Emmanuel. Books like this contain this body of information which teaches us about these creational natural laws. And one of these laws is system and order. It means you maintain this exact schedule and you try to do things the same every day. And then there's the striving, which you're continually working all the time, down to the atomic building blocks. The creation is dedicated to the striving. And I would probably say the creation has no doubt and anxiety. I'm not sure, but I don't think it does because it has no personality. There are the creation is our universal consciousness, and it's a Wesenheit being, which means it has more in common with sand, stone, certain energies, waters. It's a spiritual energy, it's an intelligence. But it has no personality, and it has a limited volition, a limited self-determination, because it's so committed to these creational natural laws, and we should be as committed as we can be to these laws, because they bring with them a certain prosperity associated with it. And a stability in society, and it brings an optimism and a confidence that will help other people too. So, but the maintenance of doubt in no way has anything to do with a healthy, logical, and knowledge-demanding search for the truth, because doubt is, again, a symptomatic of this prevailing deficit in regard to clear vision and clear recognition. So if you're having doubt, you don't have a clear vision on something. You don't have a clear recognition of something. So you need to work on the vision. From that it follows that anxiety and doubt are the greatest enemies of knowledge. And if they appear, they're able to destroy and annihilate everything. This is something I must continually tell myself all the time. That from it, it follows that anxiety and doubt are the greatest enemies of knowledge. So, and it says also in this teaching that in every regards, the human must trust himself and in his or her might and power. It's very important that we learn to trust ourselves. Again, My Thoughts, page 168. But that is bound with the necessity of rigorously excluding anxiety and doubt, because they are evil elements of disintegration, which are able to break or bend every straight line of every evolutive effort and can make all efforts useless. Oh, my goodness. You want to throw away all the hard work you've done? Let anxiety and doubt in. So this is something, boy, I've got to burn this into my consciousness. Because even, I think, even small amounts of anxiety and doubt can be very problematic. They can make all efforts useless. It's the greatest enemy of knowledge. It's able to destroy and annihilate everything. Billy talks in very, very powerful terms here. Solely by the law of system and order, the whole universe is maintained. So this is the fourth creational natural law, system and order. So solely by the law of system and order, the whole universe will be maintained. In this law of system and order, the absolute universal love is embedded, which by its own effort, each form of life must acquire. So we must acquire this universal love. If the human being wants to be healthy, happy, and successful in material life, then his daily life has to be structured and adhered to in every respect, according to the very law of system and order. And of course, again, I'm pointing back at myself when I'm saying this, because I have much to learn in this way. The daily life has to be structured and adhered to in every respect. What is demanded of us within the material sphere of life that will enable us to shape our life in accordance with the law of system and order? For this law to become effective in our daily life, many factors have to be considered. Among them, I deem the following important to be learned and observed: reliability, conscientiousness, punctuality, exactness, discipline, correctness, sense of duty, orderliness. You know, this is very, very comforting to me to know that this needs to be done. Conscientiousness is the quality of wishing to do one's work or duty well and thoroughly. See, frequently, it's aimlessness and purposelessness, indolence, disorder, unpunctuality, many other unpleasant habits that we have to remove if we want happiness, contentment, and success to be established in our daily life. Don't we want that? Every day, happiness, contentment, success. I think it's really definitely worth trying to focus on this system and order as much as possible. And there's an interesting page out at the Future of Mankind site, which is probably the go-to place on the web if you want the Meyer writings. Just Google Future of Mankind, Billy Meyer. And there's an interesting paper up there on system and order. It was translated by Helga Frederick. I don't know much about her. Let me read a little bit here. It says, in system and order, a fundamental cosmic law is expressed. We can recognize this law by observing nature. It demonstrates a perfect plan arranged in harmony in the law of system and order. The universal law is evident in the atoms, the smallest known building blocks of life. As well, it is evident in the macrocosmos, which is the big picture. Humans, as a part of creation, are integrated into a conscious evolution of the self. Therefore, it is of the utmost significance to recognize and to apply system and order as one of the most important fundamental principles necessary for a progressive and successful unfolding of the life in the evolutionary sense. Now, listen to this again. I think I may have read this before. Solely by the law of system and order, the whole universe will be maintained. In this law of system and order, the absolute universal love is embedded, which by its own effort, each form of life must acquire. If the human being wants to be healthy, happy, and successful in material life, then the daily life has to be structured and adhered to in every respect. So, we should be reliable, conscientious, punctual, exact. We should have discipline, correctness, a sense of duty, orderliness. Also to this list, I add the acquisition of learning how to work with an exact schedule and the exact following of it. When the thorough planning has been done beforehand, all extended work will be executed more efficiently. For example, women or men with a large scope of work can master this extended scope of work in an exact way by observing the law of system and order. So anyway, this book, and this goes on and on. I'm going to leave some for another day. System and Order. I don't know that they mention which book this is from. This is also out at the Figu, well, it was out at the Figu Canada site. I'm not seeing it there now. And this came from 1993. Very great information. Fantastic information indeed. Well, I guess I'm going to turn our subject a little bit away now. And I want to go, I haven't talked about the New World Order in a while, and there's so much going on. There's just, and it's happening so fast. One of the things that the New World Order wants to do is they want to create a one world government. The New World Order is the richest people in the world. It's the global elite. It's the Chinese communists. It's the people that meet in the Bilderberger group. It's the Illuminati. The people that meet in the Council on Foreign Relations. It's the people behind our media. The poor American people are so mixed up. They have so much false information. The world government they want to bring in through world domination. And that's why they had World War I and World War II. They wanted to funnel us into the United Nations to establish a one world government. They want a unified church, a monetary system. So the one world government, I think, has already set up some religion. I don't know what this is. We'll have to see what it turns into be. They also want to destroy all national identity and national pride. That's why you hear no borders, no walls, no USA at all. A billionaire George Soros is funding this well-organized anti-Trump, which was the caravan invasion from South America. Right now, our cities are under attack by Antifa. Seattle has been kind of completely overrun, the center of Seattle, for a couple weeks. I think they may have gotten that somewhat pulled together. At this point, I'm not sure. They want the destruction of the middle class. And the biggest loser from this whole coronavirus fiasco is the middle class. And that's what they really want to do with this. They want to destroy the middle class. That's what the whole goal of this is. So they want to destroy all the ma and pa shops, the local restaurants, the local businesses. That's why they had to shut down under the fear of this pandemic, which really probably hasn't truly hurt people any more than the flu, the typical flu, which is a very, very sad situation. that we're in. They also want to destroy the family. Besides the middle class, they want to destroy the family. Some of the talk about gender is because of this. They want to destroy the natural relationship between the man and the woman. They want an androgynous human being. The New World Order wants you to be without sex. They want to remove that bond between people. And they will not allow the lower class to have sex. And that's why there's things like atrazine that appear in our environments and in our foods. This causes people to change their gender chemically. They want to remove the family. They want to end normal childbirth. In the New World Order, people will be born by artificial insemination, test tubes, or cloning if we allow this to happen. We fight against this, we can stop it. They want to stop children from experiencing that normal bonding. This is a psychological attack so that they can control you from the cradle to the grave. And as you can see, the left does not even allow people to discuss these kind of things. They're completely hostile. They also want to implant a chip in every person. This is from the Goblet of Truth, page 67. And this is Billy. It says, "And it will be increasingly the case that you human beings will be treated like animals for the slaughter, implanted with electric data chips by means of which you'll be completely controlled and robbed of freedom by the governments, the public authorities, although in your ignorance you will think you live as free humans beings, although you're in fact servants." Remember, these vaccines are very tainted. Remember the MRC5, which is the human cells that are in these from aborted fetuses. There's human cells in these vaccines from aborted fetuses. Back in the 1960s, they would take lung cells out of the fetuses and put viruses in them. And then the human fetal cells then go into the vaccine with the virus. And that's one of the big problems with the vaccines. But they also have things like formaldehyde in them. So the vaccine is not a good thing. We're being brainwashed. And this comes from the CIA Operation Mockingbird. And William J. Casey, the head of the CIA, said, "We will know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false." So if you hear it on the news, if you hear it on the mainstream media, if you hear it on CNN, it's most likely false, because the CIA wants to control you through this Operation Mockingbird. And it was a large-scale program in the United States. It began around the early 1950s, and it attempted to manipulate the news media for propaganda purposes. So, system in order, stick with your system in order, follow these creational natural laws. Have a great day. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We'll see you later. Bye-bye.